flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You didn't have a lot of time to think about it, Luke, but you did like our question.
I think it's a great question. You think about the Pistons, Stan Pat might be just as good as a buy because you want to keep someone like Malik Beasley. Wings don't necessarily know where they'd improve, want to keep some room for those young guys to keep playing. Those Tigers, though, I think that's the first name that came out of my mouth when I motioned over to you, Jim. Alex Bregman, maybe Jack Flaherty, rumors still about that. I know he went on that podcast and said he'd maybe like to come back, or more bullpen. You think maybe they'd add a closer, but got to be Tigers for me.
He's Luke Sloan. Stoney, we're going to get into it with people here. Which team needs to buy the most? Everybody's looking up. Everybody's getting better. Who needs to buy the most, Pistons, Red Wings, or Tigers? We actually made that a poll question. People could vote Costa and Jansen on Twitter or X.
Well, let me ask you a question here, okay?
Yeah.
You have the Tigers who made it to the playoffs. You have the Wings and the Pistons who are trying to make the playoffs. And you have the Lions who are at a certain level and trying to even get better.
Mm-hmm.
If the Lions lose Carlton Davis, go get yourself Byron Murphy or whoever the other best cornerback is. So they might be the one.
They might be the answer.
Yeah.
I think they're just in a completely different stratosphere, but we can include them. We shouldn't leave anybody out.
Yeah.
They're not in the poll, but you can call in and talk about them.
They went as far as the Tigers.
Man, when you put it that way.
Right? Right? Because if the Tigers would have won, they would have gone to the ALCS, and the Lions would have won, they would have gone to the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, the Tigers made the second round of the playoffs, and the Lions were in the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have not even connected those dots.
I know, you look
such a great thing for one team and agony for another.
I know.
Agony for another. My answer was the Tigers, and I think there's a case for all these teams. I think the clock is ticking for Cade Cunningham. He's on the max. He's an all-star. We have not had a building block like him in Detroit for our basketball team since, I don't know, Grant Hill.
Yeah, I agree with you in premise, but when you say the clock is ticking, he's still only, what, 23 years old, I believe? And he's still, this is the first year of the max contract. So,
but it doesn't even really kick in, I believe, until next year.
Right. So the clock is really not ticking at all.
My point, well, I'm not going to put any of this into Cade's head, so I hope he's not listening.
Mm-hmm.
But stars don't stick around places that don't win.
Right.
So if you want to do the thing where you trade away your shooters and you want to mess around and get the 9 seed and get bounced, and then no one wants to sign here, and you don't swing a big trade, and he doesn't get a Robin because you're going to give Ivy a chance, and all of a sudden you waste 3 years, and you start looking around going, hey, I love Detroit, but guys, I'm not cool with flatlining here. You always when you get a player like this, have to do everything you can to support him.
I understand.
It's why I want to keep Beasley. It's why I'd love to add, even though they're limited without their first round pick. There's a case for the Pistons, although I think I would put the Wings ahead of them because of the drought and because I
the drought is pretty much the same as the Pistons. The Wings drought's not as long as the Pistons drought. No, the Blake Griffin year.
Yeah. Okay. I know.
Does that really count? That's when you didn't want them to make the playoffs.
I know.
Okay. So that's what I'm talking about. We, you know, condemned the Red Wings for trying to keep a streak alive. And as it turned out, it probably definitely hurt them. Now we are going to go, we have to make the playoffs. I'm not saying be as patient as Yzerman, but they have to do something, and if they do something, they have to do it soundly, not just to make the playoffs so we can appease people who are starving for playoffs and we can jack up our ticket prices for the playoffs and they can make more money.
That's not the way I envision it.
Okay.
Yzerman himself said he wants to expedite this process.
Right.
Which means, he's looking to make a move to push this thing along. Nothing reckless. You're not giving up a first or a second for a rental.
No.
I would point out, though, second and third round picks, the hit rate on them is so low. If you could add an extra defenseman or an extra winger or a piece that would be here beyond just this season.
Right.
Yes. I do think, by the way, it's worth, quote, just getting in. Because in hockey,
correct,
that's the sport more than any other that you can get hot and win a series or two, and now you're in a position where you never thought you'd be. See Blues St. Louis back in 2019. The other thing is, this isn't extending some streak on its last legs. This would be creating a new one, where Lucas Raymond gets to play playoff hockey, where Mo Sider gets to play playoff hockey, where Dylan Larkin finally gets to play playoff hockey since he did his very first year in the league, and who would have thought that would have been the last time, the only time so far in his career he's played in the playoffs. It's worth getting those guys in, giving them a taste, becoming an attractive destination, both for the Red Wings and for the Pistons. But my answer is the Tigers, because they're already there. If you told me, if you told me the Red Wings weren't going to buy at the deadline and the Pistons weren't going to buy at the deadline, but I got Alex Bregman today on a silver platter, I'd take it in a heartbeat.
I totally agree with you. Look, the Red Wings, I mean, if you're going to tell me they're going to make a trade where they can get, I don't know, somebody, and I don't know the whole contract status of somebody like, you know, a Dylan Cousins of Buffalo, another team that's who the hell knows what the hell goes on there.
In a mess.
Get somebody like a good player who's going to be here for a couple years. Then you could start going into, you know, your Grand Rapids, you know, treasure chest that you allegedly have. Or even, I would have no problem with trading a first round pick if you're going to get somebody who's going to be here for a while, who's going to be at least offensively, somebody who's going to be at least on the first or second line, or defensively, be definitely in your top four.
Yeah, where do they need the biggest upgrade? I mean, they're winning right now. It's a little harder to answer, but Kopp as a second center is not ideal.
No,
and you could always use extra scoring punch.
Yeah,
and they probably could use, as well as Johansson's played on the second pair with Edvinson, they probably could use one more reliable defenseman.
And look, Lyon was great last night. Talbot's, you know.
Yeah, they're kind of band-aiding it up in net.
Well, what they're doing is they're doing what the Tigers are doing, basically.
Waiting
for Kosa and then hopefully Trey Augustine as well.
Yeah.
Because then you have, if they're as good as it appears, you know, then you have your goaltending duo set for a decade.
So it's tread water until you get there.
As far as in goal, and that's what they've done.
Yeah. And you just kind of find overqualified backups. Lyon's an overqualified backup. Mm-hmm. Talbot's an overqualified backup. And you just try to string them together enough to get 82 games of competent goaltending play.
Right.
They played well. I mean, Lyon last night had 45
saves.
He
was great last night. Last night was a really good hockey game.
Yeah.
They, look, ideally, your goalies next year are going to be Talbot probably because you signed him for 2 years, which was smart, and Kosa. If he can't
all
come up
well
next year,
yeah.
I mean, there's your two goalies. And then, I don't know, you're looking to deal here. You know, there are teams that need some, you know, goaltending depth. Alex Lyon has played this role before. He did it with Florida and did it very well.
Yep. They credited him with getting them in the playoffs that 1 year.
Yes. It's the Tigers.
The Tigers. Where are you at? Where are you at with the fact that Bregman is unsigned? Because it's clearly not just a Tiger issue.
No, I think it's a Bregman issue more than the Tiger issue. I think he's really trying to price himself out. But we have no idea what the Tigers have even offered. Are they playing cheap? Are they offering them? Is it term that they're, you know, we don't know what the hell's going on. To me, if you can get them overpay the AAV for a shorter deal, I don't know if the Tigers would do that or he would do that.
I think he
wants like a 6-year deal, right?
Yeah, because when you hit free agency at this point in your career,
30 years old,
you want long-term deals. Now, if you have to do it creatively by signing a deal with opt-outs, we've seen guys do that. But I think what's hurting the Tigers is the opt-outs. Comerica is not an ideal place to go for a year and opt out versus Houston or Boston with those left fields that would cater to him.
Right.
Ticket text on their response. The Tigers need to buy the most, but Ilitch is too cheap to spend. Texter says there's nothing about it. That's about it. Nothing that's actually going to change for the Tigers. Sick of hearing Bregman for this long. He's not even a 300 hitter.
If you want to play the metric game, have gone down a little bit. There's no doubt about it. But he did win his first gold glove, and they could certainly use that at third base. And maybe that's part of it. You don't want to pay superstar money for a non-superstar. I understand that. But, you know, they need help at that position.
I would just challenge this ticket texter, and I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. How many 300 hitters are there in baseball?
Probably maybe 10.
There aren't very many.
I know.
So the idea that, well, I'm only going to pay guys who hit 300, you're not going to be able to field a baseball team.
No.
It's just not guys don't hit 300 anymore. For Bregman, I think people are nervous because last year was a down year for him. But if you look from about, what, May, June on, he got back into Alex Bregman form.
Mm-hmm.
And in a down year, Alex Bregman was a 4-WAR player, which would have trailed only Skubal and Riley Green on the Tigers. Down Alex Bregman is still an upgrade. And if you get the Alex Bregman that he has been at times in his career, I mean, that's a World Series catalyst player.
By the way, I think what the Tigers are going to do, they're going to make, I wouldn't say major, but I think they're going to make a significant trade during spring training.
So this would mean they don't get Bregman and then pivot to a trade.
Yeah. Or maybe that's their plan all along. I don't know.
Well, they have interest in Bregman. It may just be, hey, this is our line in the sand.
Right.
If you'll come to these terms, we're going to have a great press conference,
right,
and you're going to move in and be part of this, and we can't wait. But if you don't, we won't bid against ourselves.
Right.
We have a pivot plan in place.
Correct.
Well, that's been my thing all along. They had to add a high-impact bat, and we gave the list of free agents, but I added the caveat at the end, or player of equivalent talent.
Right.
And Harris has said they are willing to trade players, prospects,
right,
to get players if they're the right guys. And their farm system's loaded right now.
Exactly. They got 3 in the top 10 of ESPN. And now, look, chances are they all don't pan out. I get it. But that's pretty significant for the Tigers. When was the last time we saw that?
Yeah. You're right about that. Answer is the Tigers on the ticket text. If they don't do something to spend money, I feel like a huge chunk of the city will tune them out because the ownership would be perceived as not caring about winning. We do have a vote for the Pistons. It's the Pistons because in basketball, you're one player away from dramatically changing your fortunes.
Yeah, but who are you going to get? Like,
you're not getting one of those guys, though.
No. I mean, unless you think they get Zach LaVine or something like that is going to turn this team into a title contender, and well, he's not.
He's not. We're going to check the results coming up next. I want you guys to filter in which team needs to buy the most right now in the city of Detroit. It's 97.1.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Great game. I don't advise staying up till 12:15 or whatever when you have to get up at 4:30, but they won, so it was worth it. I would have been pissed if they would have lost the shootout.
You would have been a bad move today.
Overtime was thrilling because when you have, you know, sometimes in overtime, some teams will try to play for the shootout and they don't try to score as much as they should. But, you know, when you have one team, you know, they started out with McDavid, Draisaitl, and Bouchard.
Loaded.
And the Wings started out with Larkin, Raymond, and Sider, I believe.
And that face-off for possession was right away.
Yes.
They were on each other.
And it was great. And Edmonton got a penalty, and the Wings had a power play. By the way, I know that this is completely off the beaten path, but when you get a penalty in overtime, instead of giving the Wings an extra player to make it 4-on-3.
You think it should be 3-on-2?
3-on-2.
Oh, man.
How cool would that be?
Look, I know hosting with you, we're going to go down some of these rabbit holes. What would 3-on-2 look like? It'd be like a circus.
I know. Well, the 3-on-3 is almost a circus, and it's great theater. It's great. That's fun to watch. And they should.
It's great when it's played correctly, because sometimes teams do this little, like, we're just going to circle and double
back. Right, that's what I said. They're playing to get to the shootout.
Yes.
So the antidote to that is you make 3-on-3 overtime 10 minutes.
I agree.
No shootout. And if it's a tie, frickin' it's a tie.
Oh, see, I hate ties.
I do, too. I understand that.
I think if you make it 10 minutes.
But if you can't score in 10 minutes in 3-on-3, then there's something wrong.
Valid. And I think with 10 minutes, we are more likely to see eventually someone get an odd man rush and bury a chance. Then we don't have to go to a stupid skills competition to win. Having said that, the Wings won that stupid skills competition yesterday.
I know.
And I believe, did they say Edmonton had not had a shootout all season?
That I didn't know.
I mean, I thought I heard the TV broadcast say that, but either way, that's a good Edmonton team. You're down 2-0. Your goalie stands on his head. You rally. You come back. You win. They've won 4 in a row, and they've done it playing good defense.
Mm-hmm.
They've given up 2 or fewer in 4 straight games. Hey, boys are buzzing.
Yes.
Wings are playing good.
Yes. Calgary tomorrow, and then they go to, Vancouver on a back-to-back, and then Seattle. So, you know, you have 3 left. Seattle's playing a little better, but the Wings should get six. They should get 3 points out of the 6 minimum, right? Which would give them 5 out of 8 on the trip, which would be good.
Be significant. Then they get the 1 against Tampa, and then they're on the break.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
The break's right around the corner.
Tampa home or on the way?
Home. I'll be at that one.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah. We asked the question, which team needs to buy the most? Because literally the Wings are red hot. There's a real shot to end this postseason drought. You could add some logs to the fire. The deadline will be here before you know it because of that 2-week break. The Pistons are staring down the deadline next week. Cade's arrived. You do everything in your power to support the best building block you've had in 20 years. Are there small moves to make to get a little better to keep him going in the right direction? Sure. And then the Tigers are the obvious one. The Tigers made the playoffs. The Tigers won a playoff series. The Tigers were 1 win away from the ALCS. You guys remember going to playoff baseball games at Comerica Park, and the biggest reason they didn't advance, Tony, couldn't hit.
Correct.
And there's one very obvious player available on the open market, and even if it's not him, you said, fine, make a trade.
Yeah.
The Tigers are the team that needs to buy the most. The audience agrees. The overwhelming answer, 75% of the listeners have said the Tigers need to buy the most.
Yes, yeah, so go to our Twitter page and vote.
Costa and Jansen on Twitter. 16% say the Wings, 9% say the Pistons. With Stoney in, we're going to get to the Lions and a wellness check coming up at 8:35. The last time you were on the airwaves was a painful Saturday night after the Lions lost to the Washington Commanders. We'll ask you. You ask us. Are you over it? Will you ever be over it? First, Heather with the news.
A Detroit daycare has had its license suspended after being accused of serving raw chicken and spoiled milk to the children. This is so awful. Martin Luther King Jr. Daycare, which offered childcare from ages 2 weeks to 4 years, is also accused of leaving children cold to the touch because the building didn't have adequate heat. So the center was shut down Wednesday evening. An inspection took place. A licensing official observed fluctuating temperatures in different rooms of the building, found rotten milk in the refrigerator, said some of the classrooms emitted a really bad odor, this like spoiled foul odor. There was no cleaning supplies. The building didn't have hot water. Like all of this thing that should not be happening in a daycare, shouldn't be happening anywhere. Several staff members also complained about the conditions and said, hey, like we have nothing to clean with and we're sick of spending our own money to buy cleaning materials. They were uncomfortable with one teacher or aide or whatever said they were uncomfortable serving children yellow water with an odor coming out of the classroom water dispenser. Oh,
that's gross.
It's disgusting. It needed to be shut down. I know now there's probably a lot of parents that don't have childcare available, but hopefully they can figure out what's going on and get that fixed. 21-year-old Hamtramck man is facing a drunk driving charge after police found him stopped on a freeway exit ramp in Oakland County. So it happened last Sunday, really early, 3:30 in the morning. Police found this guy parked on the shoulder of an I-75 ramp to Rochester Road. When they approached this guy, he told the officers that he had a flat tire, and that's what made him kind of lose control and, you know, get off on the road. So officers walked around the vehicle and said, no, all four tires look good, sir. Everything is fine. Then that's when they said, you know what? He smelled of alcohol. He had a BAC of 0.13%. They also found multiple open bottles of vodka and some other alcohol in his car as well. So facing some charges. Yes. Baltimore Ravens kicker Justin Tucker is denying allegations made by several massage therapists that he engaged in some very inappropriate sexual behavior during some sessions he had with them between 2012 and 2016. So he released this statement on social media and he called the allegations unequivocally false. He said that he has always sought to conduct himself with the utmost professionalism, has never had any issues with massage therapists in the past. Now, the women involved alleged that they either had to cut the sessions short or they had to deny future sessions with him because of just this disgusting behavior that he engaged in with them. Two spas in Baltimore do say that they have banned him or banned him immediately once the complaints were made. And the allegations are really gross.
They're super gross. Yeah. If you read it, clearly he has every right to defend himself. But we also need to take stuff like this seriously. Because people are creeps.
Yep. On an episode of his podcast, The Why, Dwayne Wade opened up about a shocking health discovery, a health update. He revealed that he had a cancerous tumor removed from his kidney. And it basically all started with, you know, some stomach aches, some issues with urination. And that turned out to be something much, much more. He said doctors removed 40% of his right kidney during a surgery back in December of 2023. And then that surgery was followed by what he described as a shocking cancer diagnosis.
Wow.
Scary stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's another reason for us to remind people, if you are experiencing something that feels off, abnormal, be proactive.
Definitely.
Because that probably him going in instead of letting it fester saves lives.
Yes, for sure. All right, listen to this story. There's a woman in the UK that just became the first person to plead guilty to cyber farting.
What?
Yes. 25-year-old Rhiannon Evans was facing jail time after she bombarded her boyfriend's ex with videos of her farting. This is a true story. She's accused of sending just a series of these videos before cops got involved and said, hey, you know what? You're harassing this woman. You need to stop sending these videos. And she said, oh, yeah, I'll show you. She sent some more videos. And anyway, she was facing jail time. She ended up getting like probation. She had to go do some like rehab sessions, some alcohol monitoring. And she also got a 2-year restraining order because Apparently, the ex-girlfriend of her boyfriend was suffering from, you know, distress and anxiety. Cyber farting. Didn't know it was a thing.
My God. How much money could she make?
Well, that's she. You know what? She was using these videos all wrong, because she could have maybe been, I'm sure there's people who could have paid for them.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Could have been you, Heather.
Was she naked when she farted? See, that's how she should make money.
I didn't see the videos, okay. But...
What a question, Stoney.
Well, I mean, that's...
Some people are into it.
We're looking for ways to help this woman monetize, right? She
can pay her legal fees with that kind of
exactly.
stuff. Anyway, Heather with the news. Coming up next, Stoney with a great question. A wellness check for Lions fans. It's 97.1.
I think the Tigers have the best offer on the table, perhaps, right? I'm just not sure that's where he wants to go. But the Tigers are right there. I mean, they're sitting there, and he's been their priority the whole offseason. Doesn't mean they're going to land him, because they haven't so far. I think in terms of Houston, you know, Bregman makes sense as long as you have the Paredes trade in, you know, ready to go for that left-hand hitting outfielder that they're going to need. I mean, they need help in the outfield. Now, if you can take Paredes and you can spin him for a left-hand hitting outfielder, and then sign Bregman back, that makes sense. If you sign Bregman now, then, you know, you're kind of complicating things a little bit, right? Because, you know, you want to put Paredes at second. He's not a good second baseman. And you're going to take away one of the best defensive second basemen in Altuve, and you're going to put him in left field where he doesn't have an arm to throw. I mean, he'll play out there because he's Jose Altuve and he wants Bregman back. But baseball-wise, that's not a smart play. And what I'm being told from people in Tampa, they don't think Paredes would be adequate enough in left field to be the everyday left fielder there. So to get Bregman back, to me, the only thing you do is you now spin Paredes. And the question is, do you have a place to spin him? Now, maybe the Tigers have an outfielder that they would offer for Paredes. Maybe the Mets, if they lose out on Alonso, would have an outfielder. You know, maybe the Astros reacquire, you know, Drew Gilbert as an example. Maybe the Blue Jays have a fit for Paredes if they don't get Bregman. I don't know. But to me, Bregman going back to Houston means you have to make that next – you have to spin Paredes for me. Otherwise, you're going to have two guys out of position, arguably.
You can listen to us with the Odyssey app. Listen on the Odyssey app to 97.1 The Ticket for a chance at the ultimate trip to Vegas. Jim Costa with Stoney in today for John Jansen. We've got Heather Park and Greg behind the glass.
Does that ultimate trip to Vegas include like breakfast and lunch with Pete Carroll?
Stoney, you'll have to get the details on 97.1theticket.com contest page or wherever it is. Love having you in, and the perspective of having you in is great. You found some audio we're going to play at 9 o'clock, an update on Bregman from one of the baseball insiders. And you also have a question about Lions fans.
Yeah. Look, the last time I was on these airwaves was post-game after the debacle at Ford Field. And obviously very sad. You know, the emotions, like everybody, you know, angry, disappointed, people playing the blame game and all that stuff. So as we go into our second straight weekend without Lion football, granted, there wasn't going to be a Lions game this week anyway, win or lose. I just wanted to know where people are. Have you gotten over it yet? And if not, what irks you the most? And what's the sign? For me, you know, being also an Eagle fan, although the Lions are my new first love. I'm cheating. My friends and family say you're cheating on the Eagles.
You're an adulterer. You know,
whatever. I've been here a little longer, too. But watching the Eagles game, even the Rams game 2 weeks ago, and the NFC Championship game, I sat there. I'm not going to sit there. I was hoping that they would win, but I was like, you know, I was just like emotionless. You know, Barkley had the big run early. And then it's like anything else is like, whatever. I was just like sitting there because I was still sad and upset that the Lions were not in that game. Now, if I want to be honest about it, if the Lions did get past Washington and still suffered the Amik Robertson injury, I still think Philly would have won the game, and it would have been here at Ford Field, and people might have felt worse losing the NFC Championship game at home. But we missed the build-up to the game, which would have been, that week would have been unbelievable. So, and I come to grips with it myself. It's like, after they advance to the Super Bowl, the Eagles, it's like my sister, like, I finally called her or whatever. She goes, "What happened? I haven't heard from you all day." I said, "Well, you know, it's just whatever. It's, I was watching. I was glad they won, but that was about it. And then I watched the Buffalo-Kansas City game, obviously."
Yeah.
So I'm you know, obviously going to root for the Eagles. But I go back to that game. And back in, you know, 20 years ago, when Robert Horry hit the shot game five, where Rashid double-teamed and left them open, that play still bothers me. I've talked about it on the air. Like, even years, decades later, you know, I'm in the shower and I think about that play. The third and one, empty backfield.
Yep.
I still think about that play because it violates, even though the Lions have been successful with it, one of my tenets of football is when you do not have a mobile quarterback, it's not to knock Jared Goff, you never go empty on short yardage. And I know the Lions have been successful because it tells the defense they're going to pass the ball.
Tips the hand.
Okay? So I don't like that. And look, I got to admit, last year, I went through a stretch of months, almost a year maybe, where I would see Josh Reynolds just drop a ball because I'm convinced that's what cost them the Super Bowl, not to mention the Gibbs fumble and the Vildor play and all that. But and I just wonder where you guys are at. Are you looking forward to the Super Bowl? Are you even going to watch? Because I can't imagine people not watching the Super Bowl because the Lions aren't in it. The Lions haven't been in it ever.
Yeah, this will be 59 Super Bowls, and all 59, the Lions haven't been there. Yeah. And I know it's more real now because they've been so much closer. When people tell me they're not watching, I think it's performative. I think it's for attention.
It's like they, Lions free.
Same kind of thing. Like, I saw Portnoy come out and go, he was all upset about the Bills Chiefs. "I'm never watching football again." All right, Dave, we'll see you Super Bowl Sunday.
Right.
Like, it's kind of how I feel about a lot of Lions fans. I'm not saying you're going to watch the Super Bowl feeling okay. Like, Stoney, I still feel empty.
Yes.
And numb in some ways. When I left Ford Field that Saturday night, it was a hush. Everybody's in the streets walking back to their garage or their lot, wherever they parked, and no one wanted to say anything. Everybody's just kind of shell-shocked, empty, this empty feeling. These weekends, because the Lions would fill our cup up.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they won 15 to 17 games in regular season. We were so used to, they'll find a way, they'll get it done, even with the injuries on defense, thought they'd find a way they'd get it done, and they should have. Now, maybe to your point, and more likely than not, they lose to Philly. Mm-hmm. My point is play the game, because Washington shouldn't have won. Maybe you're there and you get a bounce or two and you kind of steal a spot in the Super Bowl with a battered defense, the way they had stolen so many games along the way. No, I feel empty. I feel numb would be how I would describe
it. Right. Are you looking forward to next Sunday?
No, I'm not looking forward to it.
Okay.
I'm going to watch it. I'm not going to play pretend I won't watch the Super Bowl.
So this will be is this Super Bowl the least excited, or whatever, lack of a better word,
so here's
anticipation
the thing
you have for a Super Bowl?
Here's the thing. It's actually a good game. These two teams played 2 years ago.
It was a great game.
I know people were mad at Bradbury in the call, but it was legitimately a penalty, and it came down to the final possession. These are two of the best teams in the sport,
mm-hmm.
with two really good quarterbacks and really good defensive coordinators and good defenses. It should be a good football game.
Yeah.
If you don't watch, you would have missed last year in overtime. You would have missed the AFC Championship this year, which came down to Josh Allen with the ball and 3 minutes to go. I'm not gonna let the Commanders win twice.
No.
Right? I'm not gonna let them steal football from me. I'm not gonna let the Lions losing steal football from me. This is the last game we get until August. So I think it's a good time to do a wellness check with people, with you in, because you heard the rawest emotions on that Saturday night. I mean, what people were almost to the point of
People were crying.
Yeah.
I mean, I welled up a little bit. It's just sad because the anticipation, this town was at a fever that they hadn't been before in professional football. And maybe we were being unrealistic and saying, well, we could, you know, even with the defense, we can, you know, rebound.
Yeah.
And finally, they couldn't. And the quarterback and Goff had a bad day. That's simple.
Yeah, I think John always says bad day to have a bad day.
Yeah.
And he's not the only one that's ever said that. No. But he's right. Goff had a great season. Goff orchestrated the number one offense. Jared Goff should be the quarterback next season. Not that they have a choice anyway.
Right.
But he played terrible. And I've seen people say it was the defense. Like, they'll still point to that Saturday night was on the defense. I think the defense would have doomed them maybe against Philly. But against the Commanders, the formula was there. I go back to your play, the first of the cascading plays in that football game. Mm-hmm. The third and one from empty. If you feed Gibbs, I feel like they're scoring on that drive. They're going up 14-3, just like Philly did against the Commanders.
Even if
they don't, they go up 10-3.
Right. Or even if, because Montgomery was split, whatever.
Yeah.
Even if you give the ball to him, he gets at least a yard.
And to your point, not having the threat of a run really does put you. And again, if St. Brown doesn't slip, a lot of things on that play had to go wrong.
Right.
But it set off a chain reaction. That's the first turnover. Wouldn't be the last.
No.
Goff's pick six, the next catastrophic play in the game, right? His pick before the half where they take 3 points off the board. Could have been 7 if he leads them a little more.
Right.
You're leaving points on the table. And even with this defense, they could have and should have won that game if they don't commit that level of turnover.
And we all said the formula, and Dan Campbell even said the formula basically was, you know, we're going to have to win shootouts.
Yep. So
they got into a shootout and lost it because some of their bullets came up blank, meaning Goff.
And I think people have deflected to blaming the defense. Not that the defense was good or healthy, but I think it's a deflection not to really let Goff shoulder it.
Right.
Because Goff deserved the biggest amount of blame to me for that game. You want to blame the coaches? People are upset about Ben Johnson. I'm mad that Dan Campbell didn't call the timeout on fourth down with 12 guys on the field.
Ridiculous.
I mean, there's plenty to go around, but I think Goff's the guy who... No sugarcoating it. No kid gloves. I know we chant his name. I know he's beloved. No one's throwing him out of the city yet, but or at all. But he screwed up, and we can blame the defense if you'd like. But if he plays the way he had played all year, if he played the way that he did to earn those chants and the MVP to consider,
probably would have won.
They win the game and then they move on.
Yeah.
And instead, we're left wondering what if. And that is maybe the lasting legacy out of a 15-win season. It's what if. What if they got to the Eagles game? Yeah, they might lose, but what if?
Right.
248-539-9797. All right, you've set the tone for us, set the table well. We'll get phone calls in the mix. It's 97.1. We got Stoney in today, and it's, it's a day where we're reflecting a little bit. A wellness check on Lions fans. State of the fan base. This is the second straight weekend where they're not playing.
Yes.
Feel, empty, numb, and some of the words we used, sad, angry, mad. Are there plays you still replay? Stoney's talked about that. You brought up the Super Bowl looming and any feelings you may have towards it.
Look, I would feel differently if the Eagles weren't playing, but I still don't understand they're not watching the Super Bowl for a few reasons. Number one, if you do hate the Chiefs, don't you want to hate watch them?
Yeah, but people hate the Eagles too, is what people have said. I hate both teams.
Okay, you hate the Eagles fan base. Do you really hate the Eagles players? Is Saquon Barkley hateable? Is Jalen Hurts hateable? Devontae Smith. If you didn't like Jason Kelsey, he's not on the team anymore.
Right, and A.J. Brown, he's well read.
That's a good point. Sirianni has douche-like qualities, but he's a pretty good coach. I mean, I don't see that. You could hate the despicable... Some of the despicable fans, not all of them. But yes, I understand that part of it. And the other part of the reason to watch is, don't you like, I love history.
Yeah.
And I love dynasties because dynasties create villains out of the dynasty.
Yeah, the Patriots, we went through it.
Yeah.
I mean, even in other sports, Yankees, Evil Empire, Lakers. Yeah.
I'm sure you'll talk about it more next week.
But but it's good to have you in. Good to get that conversation going. Jack in Novi, you're up. You're on 97.1.
Hey, guys, you know, I'm in this, probably not going to watch, or at least not go out of my way to watch. And I bring it back. I compare it to the Tigers when they went 23 years without even touching the World Series, and then all of a sudden they made it in 2006. They had a good run. And I remember that 2013, the David Ortiz Grand Slam year. And then the World Series was the Red Sox versus the Cardinals, and I'm like, I can't do it. I was so emotionally invested for so long where I'm like, I just don't have it in me anymore.
I get it. Because that was Leland said that was his best team.
Yeah. I thought it was too.
Yeah. And you sit there and you live in the what ifs, like the whole World Series. Like, man, like our entire pitching staff is better than anybody on either of these rosters. And I feel the same way. I'm not saying that the Lions are better than either the rosters in the Super Bowl. Those are two great teams. But it's like, man, how much emotional investment can you really give to football for all these weeks, and then your team just, like, fails on you and, like, deflated?
Here, I'll make you feel worse because the practice windows have been open on Brandon Graham. Would you be really pissed off if he plays because you know that Hutch was supposed to play in the Super Bowl too?
You're a bad person, Stoney. Yeah, why would you say that? Why would you bring that up?
Another dagger.
Mm-hmm. This guy. Jack, appreciate the phone call. Let's get back to the phone. Sarah in Downriver. Sarah, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Well, I was listening before the commercial break, and you guys were talking about the Super Bowl and then Jared Goff, and I wanted to comment on that. And yeah, he made some crucial mistakes during that game, but that was an all-out team effort.
Yes.
And they all, from the coaching staff all the way down.
Right.
Like, I've been a Lions fan for as long as I can remember, and I have watched every season defeated. And watching them get defeated this time, it sucked, but... in my mind, I thought, SOL. I mean, here we go again.
Oh, no, no, no. You can't do that.
You know, it's defeating. It's defeating for a fan base to go through.
Yes, it definitely is, but it's not those three letters, no.
The same old Lions then, don't end up in that spot, you know?
I hope not either, but, you know, I feel like Ben Johnson and Glenn kind of both gave up on us. They had opportunities already unfolded for him to move on. Why would they care how the Lions finish out their season?
Oh, come on.
I think that's a little ridiculous.
That's weak, Sarah, to blame that on them. Come on. Really? Come on. Oh, you know what? I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm not sure where, but I'll just mail it in for this playoff game because I don't want to get a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah. Why not both? Why not win here and then get started for the Super Bowl ring? Come on. George in Detroit. George, you're on 97.1. George, what's up?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good. Hey, listen, I want to put this in there for what it's worth. Jeff Daniels, repeatedly, like rapid fire, it's just shoving it down our throats with the Bobby Lane song. Guys, I'm telling you, we prevailed all the way through the season up until he was on a national level singing that song and then on a local level singing that song. He kept singing it, and it kept growing and growing until that day when we played the Commanders. Bobby Lane's curse, he poured it on strong this time. Let's stop singing the song. I don't want to hear the song anymore. I think that's a big jinx right there. My dad played for the Lions. My dad was Alice Karras. So I know the Lions very well, very well. My dad has always said the curse of Bobby. My dad said this verbatim, that the curse of Bobby Lane is true.
Yeah, but I wouldn't blame it on Jeff Daniels. But I will ask you this question, George. How many times have you seen Blazing Saddles?
Oh, my gosh. Too many.
Mongo too was many. A, your dad. Your dad was great.
my dad said, he said, you know, when they had me knock out the horse, you know, they trained the horse to fall. I'm like, yes. He went, you know, I thought that was like the, because my dad was a huge animal lover. So he was like, why did you guys want me to knock out this horse? It's kind of stupid, isn't it? This is kind of ridiculous. So anyway, 40 years later, he said, you know what I was saying, you know, how ridiculous that scene was? He's went, do you know that scene went down? One of the most famous scenes in motion picture history.
Oh, the farting. Yeah, more than even the horse.
The farting in and of itself was just, yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Thanks, George.
Thanks, George. Call
You're
back
welcome,
anytime.
Guys.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day now.
didn't think we would go Blazing Saddles there, but I didn't think Alex Karras' kid would call.
Right. It's live radio.
Now I got to look up Wikipedia and make sure he had a son named George. But I assume
well,
it's really
no.
I know.
Let's get back to the phones. 248-539-9797. Greg and Royal Oak, you're on 97.1.
Hey guys, AJ Brown's pretty unlikable. Sarah's call was pretty unlikable too. I want to touch base really quick on just realistic expectation and set. Like, it's probably a horrible analogy, but it's what popped in my head. Say you've got a guy who's never ever gone on a date in his life, and he's 50 years old. And all of a sudden, after 50 years of asking people out, he gets a date. And he kisses the girl the first time. Like, wow, okay, cool. But things don't go well. He's done with that girl.
does he really believe the next time he takes a girl out on a date, he's going to hit a home run? What I'm trying to say is after 50 years of not doing it, do these people, do all these fans, did they have honest expectations that the Lions were going to win the Super Bowl this year?
Well,
granted, we all wanted it. We all thought it.
Greg, as far as your analogy, just ask Wojo the next time he's on.
Oh, I was gonna ask you if you had, I remember your old Michael St. One character I was going to use in that analogy, but I let that go.
Michael St.
I'm just kidding. I once said, but I don't know how the topic came up, but changing names. I said I wouldn't change my name, but if I did something, I'd put a period after the T in my last name and I'd be Saint One.
That's pretty good. But he doesn't think people were... He doesn't believe people had legitimate Super Bowl expectations for this football team?
I know.
Was he under a rock? Or he thinks we're all stupid?
Well... I mean,
we're naive. I mean, no, to use his analogy, I mean, like we really thought we were going to score.
No, to be fair, there were people, I was one of them, that after the Buffalo game when McNeil, Montgomery, and Carlton Davis all got hurt, I said they cannot win the Super Bowl with this defense. And
I will point out, when the playoffs started, they were the betting favorite.
Oh, I understand.
They were a 15-win football team. If you didn't think they were the favorite, fine. If you don't think they had any right to expect Super Bowl.
No, you didn't expect
it. I mean, come on, guy.
Yeah.
Come on, buddy. 248-539-9797. We'll get some of your thoughts on where you're at with the Lions. A couple weeks removed. Mm-hmm. Stoney's in, still processing it. I'm sure you guys are too. Dominic in Macomb Township, you're on 97.1.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
That's so, yeah, to your point, the Lions were definitely Super Bowl contender, but like, as you said, with that defense, it just wasn't going to happen as much as we wanted to. Not with that defense. Not with that defense. And that last game, you know, I wasn't as I was disappointed, but wasn't as heartbreaking as the NFC Championship last year.
I agree with you.
Because it's just like, last year we were so close, lost by three. That was heartbreaking. This time, we lose by four scores, and it's like, can't have four turnovers in the playoffs and expect to win a game. It's not going to happen.
It's not even we lost by three. It was the fact that you were up 17 at the half.
Yeah. That was worse. It is just like decision making. Like, a lot of people blame the defense, and yeah, defense didn't make stops. But if we play lights out, no turnovers, we score almost every drive, and we outscore them.
Yeah, if they play the offense that they had played all season long, they win that game at Ford Field, and we live to fight another day. Mm-hmm. And
exactly. And, you know, I just think that no one, if the Lions are a complete sequence team, no one can beat us. I truly believe that a perfect Lions team playing, you can't beat us, because when they're in sync, when they're hot, they go on all cylinders.
Well, and we had watched that all year, and we had been led to believe that, right? I mean, it's not that they hadn't dealt with adversity all season. They did, and they went 15-2 in the regular season. By the way, Alex Karras, 5 kids. One of them is named George.
Okay.
So, story checks out.
Good.
More of your phone calls on the Lions. We have audio from an MLB insider on the latest with Alex Bregman and the Tigers, specifically where it's at between him and the Tigers. I've been told that this is not the audio I want to hear. It's 97.1.